Well, I do greet you this evening in the name of Jesus. It's a blessing to see all of you that have come out tonight. As I was coming over here this evening, I was thinking about where would I rather be tonight? You know, there's Apple Festival going on in Liberty. But what a blessing to have people that would come out and sit under the teaching and preaching of God's Word instead of out finding enjoyment in this life. Because the things that really matter are not what happened right now, but what will happen to you in the future. And so tonight we want to talk to each one of you about your soul. And I feel my need this evening. And what I have to say, what I have to share this evening is not a popular topic. With God's help, I'm going to preach it anyway. I was reminded of what Paul said. He said, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation, to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek." He was not ashamed because not only was it the gospel of Christ, but it had the power to transform lives. And that power is here tonight to change your life if you will let it. So in introduction, maybe you're wondering, who am I going to be speaking to tonight? You know, we have some visitors here, and we're glad to see that. But I've got three groups of people that I would like to speak to tonight. The first group is the unconverted. If you're here tonight and you have not committed your life to the Lord Jesus Christ, then I have a question for you tonight that demands an answer. And you need to consider this question. And I'm going to bring it over and over tonight. And I want you to think about it. And I hope you can make the right decision tonight. There's a second group of people that this message will apply to. And those are those of you who have committed your life to the Lord. And yet, you're weighing in the balance. Maybe the pressures of this world are working on you. And you're not so sure anymore where you're going to go in your life. But I've got a question for you tonight. Something that you need to consider tonight. And something you need to answer. And then there's a third group of people, and probably the majority will fit in this category, of those who have been faithful, those who have walked with God for years. And yet this question I would ask you tonight applies to you as well, because you are never too long in the faith to fail. You're never too old to not answer this question. And so with that, why don't we bow our heads to pray? Why don't we stand to our feet before the Lord this evening? Oh God in heaven, You are the Lord and You are the creator of all earth. Father, we come before You tonight, needy people. Lord, tonight there are souls at stake, and we pray, God, for Your unction and Your ability. Oh God, I'm just a feeble human, God, but I pray that Your Spirit would be here, Lord, and would convict men of righteousness and of judgment, oh God. May Your fear be present tonight, I pray. In the name of Jesus, amen. You may be seated. Today we live in an atheistic-minded world, and one of the big things that the atheist tries to do is to try to take God out of the picture, because they don't want you to think about the consequences of thinking about God. And so they teach evolution, which teaches that we all came through a process of natural selection. And part of this theory is that after you die, it's over. There's nothing after that point. And I want to tell you this evening that that's a lie. And that's a big lie, because the devil wants us to not focus on the things that are most important this evening. And the things that are most important are the things that have to happen after this life. Those are the things that are most important this evening. And the devil does not want us to think about the future or afterlife. And so he promotes this theory that tells everyone that we're just apes, and when we die, we're all done. But I want to tell you this evening, that's not true. And the biggest difference between us and animals is that you and I have a soul. And this soul that we possess will never, ever die. In fact, this soul God created. And when he gave it to you as a child, he intended for that the soul to live on on for eternity. And that means that there is never an end. There will never come an end when your soul will cease to experience what is the conditions that it is in. And so this life is just a very small portion of what your soul will experience. And so it is very important that we realize that not only is there a God and that we have a soul, but there is actually an afterlife. After we die, our future has just begun. And that is the most important thing. I want to read to you out of Revelation chapter 20, verse 11. And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, that's the Lord Jesus, from whose face the earth and heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. And the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books, according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell gave up the dead which were in them. And they were judged, every man, according to his works. And the sea gave up the dead which are in it. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. So after we die, there will be a great judgment. And each one of us will stand there. And our future life will have just begun. And then we will get to meet God face to face, whom you and I have never seen before. And we will give an account for every deed done in this body, and that will determine the future of your life, whether it is bliss or torment.
Right.
And now this evening I want to tell you the difference between heaven and hell is as diametrically opposed as it can get. There is no greater extreme.
That's right.
There is no greater extreme known to us than the difference between heaven and hell. Hell is the worst that you could ever imagine. If you could ever imagine, I remember my little sister Delia when she was about 2.5 years old and we were around a campfire and she fell and her hands plunged into the coals on that campfire. And you think about the screaming and the agony, and we rushed her to the house and we put her hands under the faucets and they were sizzling from the coals that were burned in her hands. And you imagine that for eternity. Imagine that for 10 minutes. Imagine that for 10 minutes, and then think about that for thousands and millions of years. And then contrast that with being with the Lord forever.
That's good.
There's no greater opposite. Let's turn in your Bibles, if you have one with you here tonight, to the book of Mark. Mark chapter 8, this will be the text that we'll be taking the message tonight. Mark, the Gospel of Mark, chapter 8, begin reading in verse 34. Mark chapter 8, verse 34. And when he had called the people unto him with his disciples, also he said unto them, whosoever will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it. But whosoever will lose his life for my sake and the gospel's, the same shall save it. For what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world but lose his soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? The sermon title this evening is The Worth of a Soul. And the question I want to ask each one of you tonight as we go through the message is, what are you going to give in exchange for your soul? That is the most priceless possession anyone has ever received.
That's right.
Is the gift of a soul that will never, ever die. And so we want to look at this value. We're all very familiar with exchange. We do it every day. We go to the store, you buy something, you pay cash. Maybe you go get a meal and you buy it. And there's a worth. There's an exchange. How many of you this evening would give me a $100 bill in exchange for a penny?
No.
No one would do that. That would be a terrible deal. And so you think about that, because I'm going to bring that back up. There are things in this world that are terrible deals, and the devil is an expert in dealing in them. He loves to make terrible deals with humanity. Today we live in a world where the lottery is a big thing. And imagine if you could win the jackpot of a couple million dollars. And you can have all these million dollars, but in the contract, you can only receive this if, well, it's a really good deal, but you just won't get to go to heaven. You know what you call that? That's a bad deal.
That's right.
That's a terrible deal.
Right.
Your soul is worth way more than that.
That's right. Yeah.
We're familiar with Fort Knox. Fort Knox is up here on the river, and that's the U.S. gold depository. There's an estimated $6.5 billion in gold in the depository. Imagine if you could be granted every bit of the gold in the Fort Knox depository, but you have to give up your soul. You know what you call that? That's a terrible deal.
Right.
Your soul's worth way more than that.
Right.
The world today is an estimated $5 quadrillion, estimated value. And to get a better picture of that, that's 5 with 15 zeros. And that still was too big for me to grasp, so I did some more math. There's 7.5 billion people estimated on the globe. That would be enough for every person to have $750,000. Jesus said, Let me quote it here so I don't get it wrong. What shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and yet lose his own soul? If you could somehow get to the top and be the person above everything, but yet lose your own soul, that is a terrible deal. Your soul is worth more than that.
Right.
And I'm just establishing right up front the value of your soul.
Right.
This is what Jesus said, the one that made your soul. He said, your soul is worth way more than all of this world. You could get this whole world, and your soul would still be worth more than that in light of eternity. And that tells us how serious eternity is. Think about Alexander the Great. He's probably one of the closest men in history that ever attained unto this. And yet, when he was 32 years old, I believe, and died of a drug overdose, and now he's in hell, and he's experiencing that torment. If you could talk to Alexander the Great tonight and ask him, was it worth it? You know what he would tell you? He would say, I was cheated.
Right.
I've been cheated.
Right.
It wasn't worth it.
Right. Right.
And he would ask you tonight, what will you give in exchange for your soul?
Right. Good, brother.
Jesus makes even a bigger point in Mark chapter 9. You can turn there if you'd like. Mark chapter 9, starting in verse 43. Not only is your soul worth more than the world, but it gets personal because there's things that we have to give up.
Right.
It's not just about if you made such a big offering, you could turn it down. There's a cost we have to pay because there's many things in this world that are trying to take away our soul.
Yeah.
And it takes a daily giving up. And it gets extreme. And this is extreme. And I realize that, so I'm going to put it up there up front. But I just want you to get this picture in your mind for how valuable Jesus places your soul, the value of your soul. Think about this. Think about this. Mark chapter 9, verse 43, and if thy hand offend thee, cut it off. It is better for thee to enter into life maimed than having two hands to go into hell, into the fire that never shall be quenched, where their worm dieth not, and the fire is not quenched. And if thy foot offend thee, cut it off. It is better for thee to enter halt into life than having 2 feet to be cast into hell fire. into the fire that never shall be quenched, where their worm dieth not, and the fire is not quenched. And if thine eye offend thee, pluck it out. It is better for thee to enter into the kingdom of God with one eye than having two eyes to be cast into hell fire, where their worm dieth not, and the fire is not quenched. I'm reminded of a story I once heard. I believe Jerry Mahore told it, of a man who was in a work environment. I believe it was a butcher shop, and somehow he got his hand into a machine. And it was being pulled in. He was being pulled into this machine, and he was going to be lost, entire body and everything, into this machine. And there was a worker nearby with a cleaver, some sort of knife. And when he saw what was going on, he ran over and he smote the man and he cut off his arm. And that man was a hero because he saved his life.
Yes.
And yet today, people will not sacrifice anything to save their soul.
That's right.
Let alone their life. It's because we don't have the fear of God.
Right.
And we don't have an eternal perspective.
Right. Amen.
Jesus said our soul is worth so much, you could go to heaven handicapped and be better off.
Come on, that's right.
Amen. And it's extreme, but that's how valuable your soul is. What will you give this evening in exchange for your soul? There's nothing I've given that's been that extreme yet. So I want to talk about some things that people see as unwilling. Just they're just too much. You know, they weigh things in the balance, and they look at their soul on one side, and they look at this issue on the other side, and I just don't know. I guess I'll just have to go to hell. And maybe they don't say that, but they do it with their actions. I want to talk about a few issues. Probably one of the big ones is pride. Pride separates us from God. In fact, this is what made Satan who he was. I will be like the Most High. I will ascend into heaven. I will make my throne up there. Satan is the author of pride. You know, pride is what makes us afraid to confess our sins. Pride is what keeps us from stretching forth that withered hand and getting healed. It's pride. The Bible says that all those that are proud in heart are an abomination to the Lord. Pride. Think about, here's another verse, James chapter 4. But he giveth more grace. Wherefore, he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. God resists pride. And I'm reminded of an account that happened in our own church. My dad was a minister. We had a young man in the congregation who was in sin. And this sin was found out. And when he was addressed about it, his pride would not let him repent. Instead, he began to lie about it and try to save face. And time went on, and he got deeper and deeper into his hole. And the deeper he went in, the more he lied. And the more he tried to hide. Finally came to a solemn assembly in the old church. This young man was 17 years old, if I remember correctly. I was still much younger than that. And he was excommunicated. He lied to the entire church. Not much time passed, and this young man was on a trip with his sister and brother-in-law, driving down the freeway at night. None of them were buckled in. He fell asleep behind the wheel, went off the road, hit the end of a berm or a barrier, and the Toyota 4Runner they were driving flipped head over heels several times and rolled. He was thrown from the vehicle and crushed to death. This young man was. And if you could meet this young man today, and it's scary to think about where he's at today, but if you could meet this young man today and you could ask him, was it worth it? Was it worth it? You're hiding your pride. You're trying to save your image so you wouldn't get corrected. You know what he would tell you? I've been cheated.
Right.
That's what he would tell you.
Right.
And he would give you the counsel. What do you have to lose? What will you give in exchange for your soul?
Right.
That's what he would tell you tonight.
Yes. Right.
If you would come to him and say, I've got pride in my heart, but I don't want to really let go of it, he would plead with you, just like that rich man did. Send Lazarus to warn my brethren.
Right.
The second thing that people do not want to give up is the love of this world.
Yes.
Can we just be honest enough to say that? 1 John chapter 2, verse 15 says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof, notice that, the world's going to pass away, and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever.
Amen.
Love not the world. You know, so many sins in this world could fall into this category. Just plain loving the world. So many people live for the here and now. That's their focus. Earthly minded, temporal. They ignore eternity. You know, how many people just go to seek thrills and adventure? I remember a young man I met, and I'm not going to say any names tonight, but everything he could talk about was what was fun this time, and fun another time, and how this was so much fun. You know, that's just the love of the world. People are running after their lusts and desires. People drown themselves in drugs, alcohol, music, fornication, immorality, and debauchery.
That's right.
Trying to find fulfillment in their lives, but all they're doing is selling their souls cheap. That's all they're doing.
Right.
They're being a victim of the devil who's offering them. You give me 100, and then he just cheats them, rips them off, gives them nothing in return. Torment in return.
That's right. Amen.
It's a terrible deal.
Right.
Nothing's worth your soul. Maybe that didn't come out right. None of what the world can offer is worth as much as your soul. Think of another story of a young man. Lived in Texas. Wild. Loved adventure. Thrill. He loved motorcycles. High speed. Went down to New Mexico to go to a crotch rocket rally. And while he was there, they had a contest. Who could go the fastest around a 15-mile-an-hour corner? And this young man decided he was going to do it at 65. And when he entered the corner, he was going way too fast. I believe he was even going faster than that. And he came off his bike. And he saddled the guardrail. And every time one of those I-beams came along, it was like a sawtooth. And it cut him up. Great gaping hole in his back. The next people on the scene took off their t-shirts and stuffed it in the hole. And this young man, who was not right to meet God in any way, lived for half an hour, unrepentant, and then died. And if you could meet this young man today, and you could ask him, was it worth it? Was it worth the fun? Did you get enough out of life to balance out what you're experiencing now? You know what he would tell you? I've been cheated.
Right. Amen.
That's exactly what he would tell you.
Right.
And if you came to Him and you were weighing in the balance, saying, I'm not sure, things look so fun out there in the world, He would tell you, what are you going to give in exchange for your soul?
Right.
That's what He would tell you tonight. Here's a big one. Money. Mark chapter 10, verse 17. And when he had gone forth into the way, there came one running and kneeling to him and asked him, Good master, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life? Isn't that the question we all have tonight? We're all wondering how we can inherit eternal life. So listen up. Listen what Jesus says you have to do to inherit eternal life. And Jesus said unto him, Why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God. Thou knowest the commandments, do not commit adultery, do not kill, do not steal, do not bear false witness, defraud not, honor thy father and mother. He answered and said unto him, Master, all these things I observed from my youth. This was a good man.
Yeah.
Notice, he had everything in line to go to eternal life. 90%. 90%. But listen to what Jesus said after this. And Jesus, beholding him, loved him and said unto him, One thing thou lackest. All it takes is one thing to lack. And you can sell your soul for that one thing.
Right.
Forget about the 90% you have right. What's that one thing that you're lacking that you're holding out on God? That's the thing that's going to keep you from eternal life.
Right.
Now, I'm not talking about sinless perfection, but what are the things that you know about that God is putting His finger on that you're holding out on?
Amen.
And then Jesus, beholding him, loved him and said unto him, One thing thou lackest, go thy way, sell whatsoever thou hast and give to the poor. And thou shalt have treasure in heaven. And come, take up the cross and follow me. And he was sad at this saying, and went away grieved, for he had great possessions. And you see this young man, and I when I was studying for this, I was pondering this myself and praying about this and thinking, God, this could be any one of us. Here's a young man. He's got great possessions, and when he holds it on the balance and he wonders whether I'm going to have my possessions or whether I'm going to follow the Lord, he made the wrong choice.
Right.
He sold his soul cheap.
Right. Amen.
And Jesus looked around and said unto his disciples, How hardly shall they that have riches enter into the kingdom of God? And the disciples were astonished at his words, but Jesus answered again and said unto them, Children, how hard is it for them that trust in riches to enter into the kingdom of God? It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. And I'm not sure how to explain that to you, but one thing I know is it's serious. And at the end of the day, if you're willing to sacrifice spiritual things for monetary gain, you're in great question before God.
Right. Amen.
There's a problem. You're holding up money, and at the end of the day, you're going to die, and you're not going to have your money to secure you into heaven. Or what you need to worry about is your soul.
That's right. Amen.
Think about this. The sin of Sodom. We all know that Sodom and Gomorrah are known for homosexuality. But in the book of Ezekiel, their sin is a little redefined. Ezekiel 16, verse 49, Behold, this was the iniquity of thy sister Sodom. Pride, fullness of bread, abundance of idleness was in her and in her daughters. Neither did she strengthen the hand of the poor and needy. And that comes right home to us. We are full. We have abundance of idleness in our nation. We need to be careful. We're in danger of losing the most precious thing known to humanity, our souls.
Right.
Think about the rich man and Lazarus. The rich man was clothed in purple, fared sumptuously every day. Lazarus, he was at his gate, full of sores. The dogs were the best comfort he had. He wished he could eat the crumbs that did fall from the master's table, from the rich man's table. And that rich man went to hell. And the only reason that the Bible gives is that he didn't take care of Lazarus. While I was thinking about this, there was some fear going on in here. Are we doing that today? Are we holding up one above the other? What are we valuing? Our soul or our material gain? You know, probably the most popular thing that people are unwilling to give up is just everything. You know, that's probably the least popular part of the gospel that you will hear tonight. And that is the most real part of the gospel. God demands everything. Not 90%, not 95%, not 99.9%, 100%. Jesus said unto him, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and all thy soul, and all thy mind." All of it. How much is all?
All.
You know, we hear these verses so often, and yet God demands everything. Think about it this way. You know how I talked about the $100 bill versus a penny? And that the devil likes that. But you know what? It's also the opposite. You know what Jesus wants? He wants your penny. And you know what he's going to do? He's going to give you exceedingly abundantly above all that you can ask or think.
Amen.
But the problem is, he wants all of your penny. And you know what? Your life is so little in light of eternity. And yet to us, think of it as a little child. And they find this penny on the floor and they go to Mommy. "Mommy, look what I found." And she says, "You can have it." And they prize it and they're cherishing it. And now you come to them and say, "If you give me that penny, in 10 years I'll give you $100 bill." Well, that's some tremendous gain. But you know how hard it is to get that penny? And that's how we are often with our lives. All we can think about is what we have right now. And yes, I can tell you tonight it's so little. And yet it's so hard to get that for eternal perspective. Where we see how little it really is in light of eternity.
Right.
But it is. It's so little. It's just a little penny. But if you give that penny to Christ, and you give Him all of that penny, someday you'll be so happy you did.
Hallelujah.
There will be no regrets in eternity if you give Him your little penny.
Amen.
And you know what? We all know what that thing is in our life that we're holding on to.
Yeah.
You know, the devil likes to put doubts and questions and fears, and we need to deal with those. But this Holy Spirit of God is specific. And He, if there are things that you're holding out tonight, those things are coming to the surface. And God is putting His finger on that thing. It's not ambiguous. You know what it is. And God wants that thing. And think about it. Your soul versus that thing. Your soul versus that thing. The most precious thing known to man versus a secret sin. What a trade. You keep that secret sin, you'll be cheated.
Amen.
The devil will rob you. Maybe that little thing is just vanity. Or the cool spirit. Maybe you don't want to be viewed as radical or extreme. Young man, I know what that's like. I faced that. I remember when I was a younger teen coming to the crossroads in my life, and it wasn't a one-time experience where I realized that I love this world. I want it to be viewed as cool and popular and in style with the young people around me. And yet I knew that if I wanted to follow God, He needed everything. And there was this turmoil going on inside. And I didn't want to associate with the people that seemed like they were weird and, you know, just kind of like... and there was some turmoil going on. I know what that's like.
Right.
And I think there's some here tonight that are there. You're going to give your soul up for that? So what? You're viewed as some slick fellow, and then you go into eternity, and you lose your soul. What type of a bargain is that? That's a terrible deal.
Right.
It's a terrible cheat.
Right.
You'll have been cheated. You'll have been robbed of eternal life. Think about another young man who was this exact person I described. And his father said, you know, he really loved God. He wanted to do what was right. And yet, oh, there was pressures in the world in his life. And, oh, there just was a tug for allegiance. And this young man went to a Bible school. And he was on his way home. It was night. I'm not sure what time. But he was driving way too fast. In fact, he was going 80 in a 55. And this is the type of spirit he had. You know, and he was... cruising along and came to a corner that was sharper than he thought it was. And he went into the other lane. Before he knew it, he met a semi in the other lane going 55 head on. That father never even got to see his son. He got to view one hand. And if you could talk to that young man today, regardless of whether he made it into eternal life or not, that's not the point. But from his now eternal perspective, if you could talk to that young man and say, what would you counsel me? Here I am. I'm struggling. I'm not sure if I want to be viewed as a radical. I'm not sure if I want to be viewed as someone who's completely cast in my lot with the people of God. You know what he would tell you? He would say, what are you going to give in exchange for your soul? That's what he would tell you tonight.
Yeah.
What are you going to give for your soul? It's your soul we're talking about.
Right.
We're not talking about your wallet. We're not talking about your home. We're not talking about your plans in this life. We're talking about eternity.
Amen.
Here's another big one. You know, we all want to appear spiritual. And this applies to those who are more mature in the faith, maybe. And you know what? We want to appear too spiritual, and we want people to think of us as spiritual. We want to put our best foot forward, and yet there's things in our life that we haven't surrendered. Maybe there's even sin there. And maybe there's big needs that we're trying to keep covered because we don't want people to know about them. I want to remind you tonight of a story in the New Testament. There was a man and his wife, the name of Ananias and Sapphira, who fit that bill exactly. Here they were in the New Testament church, and there was people in the church who were sacrificing, and they were viewed as spiritual people, and they wanted in on this, and yet they didn't want in on the cost. And so here they go, and they put their best foot forward, and they pretend like they're someone who they are not, and they lie to the Holy Ghost, and the Holy Ghost strikes them dead. Kills them. And the Bible says great fear fell on all those who heard. You know why? Because that was serious.
Right.
It's important to be genuine.
Right. Yeah.
God hates hypocrisy.
Yes, yeah.
And tonight, if you can talk to Ananias and Sapphira and their place of torment, and you can ask them, is it worth it? Was it worth it? The image, what you gained. You know what they tell you? We were cheated.
Right.
That's what they would tell you tonight. We were cheated.
Right.
We got the short end of the stick.
Right.
And they would ask you tonight, what are you going to give in exchange for your soul?
Right.
Another big one. People are unwilling to give up family. And this is sensitive to me. Having gone through some difficulties in this area. But it's the gospel. And so I'm going to share it anyway. Luke chapter 14, verse 26. If any man come to me and hate not his father and his mother and wife and children and brethren and sisters, yea, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. That's the gospel. That's not my own words. That's what Jesus said. And that word hate there seems very strong. I want to use this word. Imagine if anything, any one of those relations, when you hold it up, you weigh the things out and you say, do I make this choice for God or do I let this family member affect my choice? That's what we're talking about. Amen. And when you let that family member alter your choice to follow God, you're going to let your soul be sacrificed for that family member? That's idolatry. You're putting that family member in the place that Christ deserves. He deserves that place of preeminence. And it's difficult. And not too many here have had to experience that. But brace yourself. We're living in the last times. And this is going to happen more and more frequently. Young people, we're going to have to face these pressures. And lastly, people are unwilling to give up their own life. That's pretty well all-inclusive. Everything we said in front of and before this is now capped by this. And when he had called the people unto him with his disciples back in Mark chapter 8, he said unto them, whosoever will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Take up your cross is not some just poetic phrase. Taking up your cross is like going to your electric chair. Or going before the firing squad. Or going to the hangman in old Western days. It was going to your execution. And when a man took up his cross, he was showing the whole world, I'm a convict and I'm going to death. When he carried his cross. And so if you're intending to live your Christian life and the world not be able to see that you're doing anything for Christ and you somehow blend in and just what's inside matters, I'm sorry. You're not taking up your cross. The whole world should be able to see this person is going to his execution. His flesh is dying daily. He's not up to the status quo of what the world expects of people.
Amen.
Think about this. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it. If you try to save your life here, be assured you're going to lose it in the next. If your entire focus is on how you can make this life comfortable, easiest for you, you're going to lose it. You're going to lose your soul. But if you're willing to lose your life, if you're willing to take that penny and hand it over to Jesus and say, you do whatever you want with it, Lord, you're going to gain it.
Amen.
You're going to gain it.
Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord.
Think about the persecuted Christians. I think about stories I heard of back in the 1600s when the Anabaptists were in hot persecution and there was people who would recant. And they would save their life. Some of them would. And then they die after all.
That's right.
At the end of the day, they're going to die. And they save their life, those last 10 years of their life. And then they go to hell. And you would ask them, was it worth it? You know what they would tell you? I've been cheated.
Right.
10 years of life for hell? That's a terrible deal. That's a terrible deal. And yet others, I've heard of stories of people who didn't want to be burned at the stake, and so they would recant, so they'd just be executed. And so they're trying to save their skin from burning fire on earth, and they get executed and enter into eternal hellfire. What a cheat!
That's right.
What a cheat the devil did!
Right.
What are you willing tonight to give in exchange for your soul? It's your soul we're talking about tonight. What are you willing to give? Are you willing to give everything? Nothing held back? Are you willing to do that? You need to. You need to be willing to do that. I can assure you of this. Someday, you will wish you had.
Right, that's right.
Someday, you will wish you had. Regardless of whether you make it into eternal life or hell. Even if you make it into life, you're going to look back and you're going to say, why didn't I give more?
Right.
But I can assure you that if someday you're in the flames of hell, you're going to be wishing, oh, why? Why didn't I surrender everything?
Right.
What was that small thing back there in my life that I was willing to give up and lose my whole soul for?
Right.
If you find tonight that there are things in your life that you're holding on to, maybe tonight you're just not even converted. And that's a possibility. And you just need to get right with God. You can do that. You can come to the Lord and give Him that little penny, and He'll take it and He'll use it and return it in such a big way that you'll never regret it.
Yeah.
You can do that tonight.
Yeah.
Maybe tonight the world has a hold on your heart. Maybe tonight you're trying to appear spiritual, when inside there are areas of sin or lack of surrender. The simple answer for you tonight is to repent. Regardless of where you find yourself tonight, the simple answer is to repent. Just repent. Surrender. Give it to God. Repentance is when you turn around. Repentance is when you turn around. It's not just recognition that is part of it. You need to recognize where you're wrong, but you need to turn around and go the other way. A change of life. That is true repentance. Repentance is when you give God everything. And notice that. Repentance is not just trying to clear the conscience by taking care of the big issues. Repentance is when you surrender to God. Everything, Lord. I'm done with dying. I'm done with His plans. I'm done with whatever I want. I'm ready for You to take over. That's repentance tonight. Repentance is when you can agree with the words of this song. Fully surrender, Lord divine. I will be true to Thee. All that I am or have is Thine. I will be true to Thee. Though it may cost me friends and home, I will be true to Thee. Cause me in lands afar to roam, I will be true to Thee. Now to the world I bid farewell. I will be true to Thee. Broken forever its deep spell. I will be true to Thee. I will go with Thee all the way. Hear that surrender? All the way. I will be true to Thee. All of Thy biddings will obey. I will be true to Thee. I will be true to Thee, Lord. I will be true to Thee. Where Thou leadest me, I will follow. I will be true to Thee. That is surrender, my friend, tonight. That is repentance. That is what, if you find yourself tonight and there are things in here that the Spirit of God is putting His finger on and you know about that thing or those things in your life, you need this need to repent. Surrender. God, I'm done. I'm done with it. I'm ready to follow You.
Yes. Amen.
I'm going to end tonight with another story. And some of you have heard this story before. I don't think I'll ever forget this story to my dying day. There was an old man by the name of Leroy Yeager that we met on a camp project down in Georgia. And this man was a bishop in a church. And he said a fellow bishop told him the story of what happened in his home congregation. There was two young men in his church who were rebellious, who were going their own way, who had decided that the pleasures of this life were worth giving up their soul for. And the church was having meetings just like we are tonight. And at the end of the meetings, this bishop came to these young men at the back of the church and he asked them, "What are you two young men going to do when you stand before God?" And these foolish young men, the one young man said, "I'm going to hide in a bush." The other one said, "I'm just going to turn my back on God." And these were foolish young men. And they left that meeting that night, driving together, and they didn't make it home that night. On the way home, their vehicle wrecked, and both of them were thrown from the vehicle. And when they came to the scene, the one young man was thrown into a bush. He had been thrown into a bush. And this bush had impaled him and was entangled in his entrails and everywhere. And they actually cut the bush off and took it with him to the hospital where he died. The other young man was found lying face down on the ground, dead. Face down on the ground. And he was dead. Several days later, at the funeral, a very sober funeral, two young men not ready to meet God. As they were lowering the second body into the grave, the report is that the casket lurched. And the undertaker apologized to the bishop and he said, "This young man kept flipping over. I had to tie him in the coffin." Tonight, God is not mocked.
That's right.
For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. And God will honor your choice tonight. You can choose your own way. You can choose your sin. You can choose to hold on to that thing in your life that is separating you from God. And He will honor that. God gave you a free choice. You have that option. You can do that. But oh, my friends, tonight, if you can meet those young men today in their agony, and you can talk to them and you can ask them, "It wasn't worth it." And you can ask them, "How do you think about it now?" You know what they would tell you? "I've been cheated." That's what they would tell you tonight. "I've been cheated."
Right.
And you know what they would tell you? They'd say, "What are you going to give in exchange for your soul?" And so that's the question for you tonight. What are you going to give in exchange for your soul? Don't throw your soul away. Don't do it. Remember, your soul is so valuable. All the gold in the world couldn't buy it.
Right.
Don't throw it away for a little thing.
Right.
What are you going to give tonight? Are you ready to give everything? It's our souls. It's not your pocketbook. It's not even your life. We're talking about our souls tonight. What are you going to give? May God help us to make the right choice.